Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's kick off the second half of this installment of Grant and Danny, shall we? 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home of the Caps and the Nats. More Skins talk than anywhere else. Every day. At 12 o'clock, we give you a Beltway Blitz. We'll do it in 1 minute. It's going to be all the teams jam-packed into one segment that you care the most about today. 12:45, remember this hour, coming up in 42 minutes, your chance to win Nats tickets. They take on the Colorado Rockies at home next week. You can see the matchup of a couple of the best third basemen in the sport, Nolan Arenado and Anthony Rendon. And we are scheduled to be joined in 1 hour by Steve Buckantz, who's probably the biggest story in D.C. sports today, is the Washington Post is reporting that his run as the legendary face of Wizards basketball is coming to an end as they've made a hire to replace Buckantz, according to the Post last night in Justin Kutcher. But right now, let's kick off the Blitz, talk a little baseball. The Nats are rolling. They just don't lose. Another victory in Baltimore against the Orioles last evening, 18 of 23, 19 of 25. 22 of 30. Charlie Slows was on the call. Charlie, I guess my first question is, man, how bad are the Orioles?
Yeah, it's where, from where they once were to where they are now, it's going to be a long road back, and they are really taking a pounding on the field and really at the box office, too.
Charlie, you watch Anthony Rendon every day. You've watched him every day for his entire career here in Washington. Certainly building to a crescendo here with his best season ever. And obviously impending free agency that is there at the end of the season. If you were a guy that's selling Anthony Rendon to anyone in terms of his value, how do you evaluate the player that you've watched grow up right before your eyes to one of the best third basemen now that plays in this game?
Well, you're exactly right. That's how I value him, as one of the best third basemen, top two or three in the game right now from all aspects of the game, whether it's with his glove, whether it's his bat, his ability to put the bat on the ball, driving a run when you need to, misses, getting into any kind of prolonged slumps. He's been tremendous. You know, you could make a case that he's the MVP of this club as of right now. You could also make a case that Max Scherzer is the MVP of the club. The way they played, there are several guys you can make that case for, but certainly you'd have to put Anthony right at the top.
Charlie, Juan Soto's incredible. A home run last night that went 443 right after he fouled a ball off his leg, and I was afraid he was coming out of the game. How do you find new ways to talk about his greatness night in and night out on the radio?
Well, we just, you know, you describe what you see. He's getting better incrementally in the outfield. His ability to stay locked in, he's never gone more than two games in a row without a hit since he's come to the big leagues. And even in games where he doesn't get a hit, they'll do something else, get a walk, get a sack fly, driving a run somehow, some way, contribute. And then, yeah, when he doesn't try to hit home runs and he tries to hit the ball up the middle and hit it the other way, then when he gets a pitch he can drive like he did last night, middle of the plate, his pitch recognition is tremendous. And when he sees a pitch that he can drive, he can hit it a long way, and we saw that again last night. That home run reminded me of the one he hit to right center over everything at Yankee Stadium last year.
Charlie, Austin Voth does exactly what you need him to do last night. He gets you through six innings, and then obviously the lineup gets you some insurance late, so it keeps the tax on the bullpen fairly low last night. As the Nats continue to evaluate over the next 2 weeks before the trade deadline comes, is this Voth's job in your mind right now? Do they feel at least comfortable enough giving him that job? And unless they're presented with a deal that makes a total sense, maybe it's at least him for the time being in that number five spot until something else happens?
It's possible, but then again, we'll see what happens tonight. Eric Fetty's going to start. They've all had chances. Fetty's had the most chances. and he wasn't pitching well when they gave the chance to Volt in his place. And so now Fetty gets another look. Volt had a rocky first inning. I mean, he loaded the bases, two hit batters and a walk, and didn't seem to have command of the first inning. He got out of it with a foul pop and a ground ball to short. And then all he gave up after that was the solo home run to Alberto. You know, he was much better last night than it looked early on. And you're right, he gave the club what he needed, six innings. Again, anyone who can show you consistency to get outs and get deeper into games gives you that chance. But I'm sure they're looking at a lot of possibilities to maybe get a more experienced guy in that number five spot. If all the pieces fit together, of course, you're still looking at other things, bullpen arms. And, you know, I don't know that they're evaluating it when you say evaluating over the next 2 weeks. And we saw the Cubs trade for a catcher yesterday that, you know, Contreras is not expected to be out long, but a move that you used to make to get somebody August 31st to have insurance in September, those are moves you have to make now because you can't make them after July 31st. There is no August 31st deadline anymore to get players from outside your organization.
Charlie Slows, you can listen to him and Dave Jagler tonight at 7:05 as they call game two of a two-game series with the Orioles. Nats getting ready for a massive set with the Braves. Thanks, Charlie.
You got it.
Let's talk some football. Craig Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter, and he's almost ready to head to Richmond for training camp. Craig, when do you get down to camp? Give us a little lay of the land at the start of camp of some of the availability and things you guys will be able to cover.
Yeah, it should be getting down there either Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Obviously, we start Thursday morning, and, you know, Jay Gruden will address us after that first practice and, you know, let us know who did or didn't pass any conditioning tests, all that kind of stuff. They'll release the preseason pup list, who might miss a couple of days or even more than that. And then, you know, I expect that guys like Darius Geis, who haven't talked for a while, that all of us want to talk to, will get podium sessions. Typically, we get one player per day, and I assume that, you know, guys like Haskins, Keenum, those guys will get early on in camp, and we'll go from there. I think the Haskins thing will be interesting, just how they handle him. Obviously, everyone's going to want to talk to him, but they clearly don't want to elevate any of the quarterbacks, so I wonder if, like, on, you know, days 3, 4, and 5 or whatever it is, they do back-to-back-to-back quarterbacks. So we'll see how it goes in terms of who we get to talk to the most. I've certainly put in a number of requests to talk to guys. I know you guys will have some guys on set down there, so looking forward to it. Should be a good time.
Craig, you get to be the Cub reporter that asked the very first question of Jay Gruden in that press conference. What is it?
Well, I think it depends on whether or not Trent Williams is there. Obviously, if he's not, that it is something along those lines. If not, I think the quarterback question has to be asked of, you know, what's your game plan? How are you going to split up reps over this? Do you feel like you have a timeline where you need to narrow it down to two guys and then obviously pick a guy? So I think the quarterback situation is clearly critically important to any football team. And because they have such a wide open competition, that's got to be the thing. Unless their all-world left tackle isn't there, in which case that takes precedent over everything else.
What do you anticipate as being, you know, a big storyline that right now isn't getting a lot of run? I mean, it's going to be Haskins. It's going to be Trent Williams. But what's something kind of on that next level when you put together your list of 10 stories in 10 days that you think needs to be monitored right off the top?
I think that the offensive weapons, like, how do they look? So Geis, as he works back in, how does he look? How available is he? Obviously, he had a hamstring tweak, so we'll see what his availability is over the first 3-4 days of camp. But the other guy, and you know, I wound up not putting him anywhere in the 10 stories because technically he's healthy and ready to go, even though he's been taking the process slowly. Like, I have no reservations, really. But Jordan Reed is so essential to this offense, and him being elite is what gives this offense a chance at being good. And so how he looks, does he look sharp? Is he able to go back-to-back days? Is he on some kind of maintenance plan that seems extreme, or is it just kind of a light, regular veteran maintenance plan where occasionally he gets the day off and it's no big deal? How he looks and how available he seems to be is huge because that could give us an indication of, is he going to be a 50% snap guy this season, 60%, or is he going to be out there 80% of snaps, really, you know, being a factor down in, down out for this offense?
Craig, based on the way he's been used in his career so far, isn't there some intrigue as to how this defense is going to fit Landon Collins in and decide what his role is going to be as a safety in the back end of that defense right now?
Yeah, I don't think there's too much intrigue there just because I think he fits in well. Like, yes, he's going to have to bounce back some because their safeties are pretty interchangeable, and he will certainly play some over the top. But his main thing is going to be being down in the box. And when he's in coverage, it'll be more in two high situations where he only has to cover half the field, not where he is his deep third, middle, you know, center fielder kind of player where you really need that rangy type, which is more of obviously where Monte Nicholson has been really effective when he has been really effective over the past couple of years. So I think Landon's going to be Landon. Like, they've signed Landon Collins to go be the Landon Collins who's made Pro Bowls and been a really effective player in New York. They're obviously very aware of what he can do because he has had some pretty nice games against them, and they've had the game plan for him. So come downhill, be a sure tackler in the run game, occasionally match up with tight ends and running backs in man coverage, play your underneath zones, and then occasionally will he drop back in both cover two and cover three, you know, that where he's a single high safety deep or a two, you know, where he's got half the field. Yeah, he'll do some of that, but I think they're going to try to limit that as much as possible because it's not where he can be great.
Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you guys later.
You bet. That's your Beltway Blitz. Steve Buckantz is on the show today at 1 o'clock in 45 minutes. In a half hour at 12:45, we've got Nats tickets that could be yours. All you got to do is listen, and when prompted, pick up the phone and call. Next, who are the best young athletes in town? Where does Juan Soto, where does Jacob Varana show up on that list? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the 2-1 is launched to deep right center field. Forget about this one. A tape measure home run for Juan Soto to right center has just come down. Nationals lead it 3-1 as Soto hits home run number 17 halfway up the seats in right center. What a blast by Juan Soto.
Juan Soto's the man. Dave Jagler on the call as heard on 106.7 last night. Juan Soto is 20 years old. He turns 21 after this season ends. That's when he'll have his first legal sip of alcohol in the United States. 303 average, 17 homers, and over 60 batted in with a 950 ops. He was amazing last year as the runner-up in the Rookie of the Year voting. He's having a better year this year. Higher batting average, higher OPS, higher slugging, same on base, and a lot more power. He's just great. So, yesterday he hits a homer, and Jacob Varana signs a new deal with the Capitals, bridge contract, getting about $3-plus million per year. Both of them are under 25 years old. Varana's 23, Soto's 20. And it got me to thinking. I said, you know what? Me and my pal Pete Medhurst tomorrow need to spend a little time on the show with the masses in D.C. compiling a list of our top players under 25 years old in D.C. Why not? So, let's do it. I think we could go a lot deeper than the top five. I actually just jotted down 10, and I may have forgotten some people. But we'll go with our top fives. We'll see how they look comparatively with each other here, one after the other. But I do want to open up the phones, and I'll be honest with you. This should be fun. This should play. There should be a lot of calls on this. I think this is a great conversation, so let's have it now on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. Best D.C. athletes under 25. If you think we put somebody too high or too low on the list, that's cool. If you want to advocate for someone we don't mention, that's great, too. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. 1067. Pete, I'll let you go first. Your number five player in your top five under 25 in D.C.
Even though he has not played a down of football yet, but I anticipate him having a season of impact for the Washington Redskins, I'm going to go with Montez Sweat at number five.
Wow. He's number five on this list?
He's number five on this list under 25 because I think he's going to have impact.
Interesting. He's number 10 on my list for the
record.
I have
him at number 5.
Okay.
So just ahead of Rui Hachimura.
Rui Hachimura did not make my list, believe
it
or not.
I think Rui's going to have a big impact, too.
I made a list of 10 deep. I didn't put Rui on it. Okay, there you go. I've got, at number 5, Jonathan Allen of the Redskins. Jonathan Allen is 24. Did he make your list?
He would have if I'd have looked. I thought he was 25 because he played 3 years at Alabama.
Well, even if he was 25, he'd make your list.
Yeah, that's true.
25 and under. John Allen is
that's
only 24.
One.
16 games last year and had 8 sacks. I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl this year. I think he is a phenomenal player. And I think
I could easily put him at number 4 instead of my number 4. Right now, at least.
You're about to switch your list?
I could switch my list because that makes the other player is playing well, but Allen has even more of an impact than this player. So I'm
okay.
going to bump that player for Jonathan Allen.
How about
4.
That? Pete's already changing his list. We just got started.
I like that. I'm flexible.
All right. Very good. So I got Allen at number 5 on my list. You went with who at number 5?
I went with Montez Sweat.
All right. Number 4.
I moved Jonathan Allen into that spot.
And you've taken out?
Victor Robles.
Robles is off your list?
Off my list.
I've got Victor Robles at number 4.
That's where I
have
on
my list.
That's interesting, then, because somebody I have ahead of him that you probably don't even have on your list in the top 5, which is interesting.
It is. Maybe I forgot someone.
Well, we were talking about someone. The question is, he's played, but he hasn't played for the local team yet.
Gotcha.
Is who I have
so
next.
I've got Victor Robles, number 4. You've got Jonathan Allen. So here's you've got Allen, number 4. Here's my case. I made the quick case for Allen. I think he's the best defensive lineman on the Redskins, and they're stacked at the position. And I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl. Victor Robles is going to play in an all-star game eventually. I remember asking one of the Nats development guys a year ago, is he going to hit 20-plus home runs? And they said, yeah, eventually we think he'll find that power. He's going to hit 20 home runs this year as a rookie, and he's going to steal 20 bases probably in the 2020 club and hit you around 260. Yes, please, and thank you. Oh, by the way, playing brilliant defense in center field. He's only scratching the surface. And he's a guy, we're talking about ages, sub-25, who's well under. He's 21. He's got 4 years before he gets there. He's not just barely under 25. So he's number 4 for me. Number 3.
Because he's accomplished some things already in the National Football League, even though this will be the first year that he suits up for the burgundy and gold, I'm going to go with the Alabama safety, Landon Collins.
I've also got Landon Collins, number 3, on my list.
Wow, then you've got my number 2, I think, completely off your list.
All right, I'm curious. Landon Collins, the safety you mentioned from Alabama, who came over from the Giants at 25, is going into his 5th season. I'm actually shocked he's not 26 yet. And he doesn't even turn 26 until after the football season, so he was drafted very young. But he's been a first-team All-Pro. You've been a first-team All-Pro and you're a perennial Pro Bowler? I got to put you in my top 5 in D.C. I'm a little bit surprised the Redskins have 2 guys, which is pretty cool. All right, Pete, number 2, who do you got?
Celebrating his 2-year, $6.7 million contract. He had a big goal in a Game 5 against Las Vegas. I'm going to go with Jacob Verano.
Yakub. Jacob Verano, number 6 on my list. Big Jacob Verano guy. Love Yakub. I think he might be the most important player on the Caps that needs to break out in a way that he hasn't yet next year. And he already had a huge year by the way, last season. Jacob Verano
had a big moment in a Stanley Cup winning season for the team, so I want to reward him for accomplishment. If you've accomplished something that's important, I want to reward him for it.
Got you. Jacob Verano last year had 24 goals. I think he can score 30. I'm not going to say who, but I'll just tell you that one of the highest-ranking people with the Capitals told me they think he could score 40 goals in a season. And when I said, that sounds crazy to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense, they said, well, think about this. He gets very little power play time. He essentially, if you look at his ice time, has very rarely been a guy logging minutes with like the top line group. His role's only going to grow. If you had him on a power play, see what it's done for guys like Alex Chason last year out west, who all of a sudden was a 15-goal scorer, that 24 could become 32, 33 pretty easily. They need him to score 25. They'd really benefit from him scoring 30 next year.
Skates so well that he has the ability to create goals on his own, as I like to call it. Just like a player in basketball who can create his own shot, I think Jacob Verano is a guy that in open ice is a guy that can create opportunities for himself with his ability to skate.
So much speed. You've got him second of all the players in
played
DC
on a
sports,
Stanley Cup champion and had a terrific season contributing to that team.
So did
he's
my
a major
guy.
Player.
And you don't have him on your list.
Here you go.
Tom Wilson, the future captain of the Washington Capitals. Tom Wilson, more important to the Capitals than Jacob Varana. First team player, terrific penalty killer, 25 on the dot. In fact, he won't turn 26 until deep into next season. He's a guy who's a leader in that dressing room, who leads the team in hits and fights in so many categories. And oh, by the way, basically scored the same number of goals as Jacob Varana did last year in a lot less games. Played fewer games and he scored 22 times, 40-point season. Top line Tom Wilson, number two of the players under 25 in DC sports for me.
So I'm going to assume you and I have the same number one.
We do.
The Oregon Duck, Troy Brown Jr. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a good bet.
Johnny Soto, baby.
Juan Soto.
Johnny Soto.
Is the best player in DC sports under 25. So here's my top five. Soto, one. Wilson, two. Landon Collins, three. Victor Robles, four. Jonathan Allen, five. You've got
Soto, Varana, Collins, Allen, Montez Sweat.
Now, my 6 through 10 also receiving votes. Jakub, Jacob Varana, Daron Payne, 7, Matt Ioannidis, 8, and then I have Darius Geis and Montez Sweat, 9 and 10.
Notice a lot of Redskins, though, in the bottom part of that list.
Indeed.
You know, and that is an encouraging thing to me going forward for the Redskins. When was the last time we'd had that deep a core of young players under 25 on this roster that you all thought could have significant contributions and impacts for this team? I think it presents at least something very positive going forward for the organization.
What did we get right? What did we get wrong? Who should be on the list that isn't DC Sports 25 and under? And who would you move up or down? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny with Pete in for Danny on the Fan. Spend your summer at the St. James. It's the newest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. It's not just a gym. It's an experience. There is something for everyone. I go. I take the baby. I drop her off at the nursery. They watch her for me. I can shoot hoops. I can swim in the pool. I can sit in the sauna. I can get a massage. I can eat at a restaurant. I can skate on the ice. All options for me. I could pick up the football and go sling it around on the turf field. Complex, state-of-the-art indoor venue. More than 20 sports being housed at the St. James. Two regulation ice rinks are pretty impressive to check out. Premium health club, top-of-the-line equipment and weights. After your workout, you can get that relaxing massage that I mentioned. You'll go refuel. It's just a great, great facility. I go all the time. So much under one roof. The St. James, one-of-a-kind experience. Take advantage of an offer right now. Join today. Get 4 personal training sessions for free at thestjames.co. That's where you can go to get more info. Thestjames.co. Welcome to your best.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We just just gave you our top five under 25 in D.C. sports. You can chime in if you'd like at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Caps were well represented. Tom Wilson, Jacob Verana in the conversation. Redskins had Jonathan Allen as well as Landon Collins in our top fives. Just missing, you could have put a guy like Montez Sweat or, you know, Matt Ioannidis, Deron Payne, which is a good sign for them.
Even Dwayne Haskins if he somehow ascends to the quarterback job.
And the Nats had two of our top four. The Nats had Juan Soto and Victor Robles.
Johnny Soto.
And so much is made of D.C. sports and where we're headed and whether we're in big, big trouble. I've always thought that we kind of always, you know, try to be doom and gloom. The fact is the Nats are the hottest team in the sport since late May. The Redskins do have some good young talent, particularly on defense. They have a chance to be pretty good on that side of the ball this year. A
lot of contributions on Twitter. One about Montez Sweat, I had in my top five, and the guy says, I agree with you. Big Zoe 8041 says, I agree with you. He thinks Sweat could get as many as 15 sacks this coming season.
15 sacks?
15 sacks.
I don't think a Redskins had 15 sacks since Dexter Manley. That's pretty aggressive.
I'm just saying what I'm reading here. Another guy thinks, you know, he said to you, GP, no Rui Hachimura. And again, obviously, jury out.
You didn't put Rui on your list, right?
No, I would have had him in the top 10 because I think he can have impact. Again, that's where I come. John Schwartz with a great question. He goes, another fun category would be top five over 30 years old. He says, the first ones that come to mind are obviously your Scherzer and Ovi. And then, you know, trying to dig down deep in that pile for over 30.
So who am I taking out, though, to put Rui Hachimura in? As I kind of think out loud here, I believe Montez Sweat 15 sacks is really bullish and really crazy. Ryan Kerrigan's never done that. But I believe he's going to be in the 9-10 range.
Doesn't believe Sweat. I mean, I think Montez Sweat could be a better player than Ryan Kerrigan eventually.
Maybe. Not this year.
Watching their college careers, I definitely think Sweat has the ability to be a big-time sack guy.
I agree with you. I got him at 9 or 10 this year. You'd bet on him breaking Kerrigan's franchise record for sacks? I wouldn't. I think it's hard to do that. It's hard to stay healthy, hard to be consistent, hard to do it year in and year out. But that said, the potential's certainly there.
Skill set is there. There's no question.
He's got to get to a point where he can play on running downs to help him out. Kerrigan benefits from being on the field every down, and I think at least the start of his career here, Sweat's going to be coming off the field part of the time, is split in time with Ryan Anderson. But that said, I think Montez Sweat's going to get 9 or 10 sacks this year. I'd be very, very happy with that. If he gets 8, I'd be okay with that too. Anything under that, I'm probably disappointed. But I'm not taking him off my list for Rui Hachimura. Darius Geis, I've got 9th. To me, Geis, way more upside at running back his first few seasons in the league than Hachimura with the Wizards. You know, Ioannidis, Payne, good defensive lineman who can get to the quarterback. Verana, who's 6th, I think is a 30-goal scorer this year, perhaps. You know, Verana, I feel bad about not having higher. You had him 2nd. Thami, one of our producers here, just put out his list. He's got Soto 1. He's got Haskins, 2. Neither of us had Haskins, by the way, in the top 5. I don't even have Haskins in my top 10, which probably
Haskins
is.
At 10, only because we don't. His impact is going to be, you know, so far down the road. You know, we don't know whether he's going to be able to. He may not even get a chance this year. If Case Keenum plays well, it's the same thing we put out the other day. If they go like 6-3 or 5-3 over the first 8 games with Case Keenum, you may not see Dwayne Haskins at any point this year, which it would be okay. That would be okay because that means he's got a year to just sit back and develop.
But what are the chances of that, Pete? That's like a 2% chance.
I think it's better than 2% chance.
That Dwayne Haskins doesn't play this year?
I didn't say didn't play. I'm saying there's a better than 2% chance that they could somehow end up at 5-3 or 4-4.
That's fine. I'm saying what your point, though, was you said there's a chance he doesn't play
this year. But if they are 5-3 after 8 games, are you playing him?
As soon as you get eliminated from the playoffs 3 weeks later. You know, because you'll end up 5-6 probably. And then when that happens, you do. But here's my question. I mean, there's a better chance he plays 15 games than that he plays 1, obviously. I mean, if he plays, let's say...
He could still win the job. Not impossible.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, the fact that he doesn't start in week 1, which is what I'm banking on, doesn't mean he's not going to play a lot. With this owner and this team president and the lack of buttons
and seats... those first 5 games that could really...
He's going to play a bunch.
You could be 1-4, 2-3 easily after those first 5 games because of the quality of the competition.
I'm not going to pull a Chris Russell because I don't really do that, but there's very little I wouldn't bet about Dwayne Haskins leading the Redskins quarterbacks in pass attempts and starts this year. I mean, he's not going to sit and watch Case Keenum while you can't draw fans in your stadium.
If you're the head coach,
it's not going to happen.
If you're the head coach and you've got to figure out the best way to keep your job, if that is buying yourself more time by injecting the young quarterback into the lineup and he does show promise under your coaching and leadership, perhaps that's a way for you to buy even more time.
I don't think it's up
to him. As the coach.
It should be. What you're saying is what happens in good organizations? I don't think that's a Jay Gruden call. Might be a Jay Gruden call in week one or week two. By week seven or week eight, when Dan Snyder's looking at 15,000 Redskins fans and 14,000 name the team fans coming into that stadium, I don't know that Jay gets to make that call anymore. John's in Fairfax. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys? Perfect segue into my question, or I guess comment. So you're ranking the top players, and I guess my question is, does that go by talent or potential impact? And I guess my comment is, I think Haskins, given the prominence of, being the NFL quarterback in the city, or the starting NFL quarterback in any city, he's probably the most important athlete under 25 in D.C.
Well, no doubt. It's a great point. I'm going to keep you on the line. I'm not cutting you off here. To answer your question, I went with current talent, like this moment right now. And I have a guy in Sweat 10th who's never played a down. Ninth Geist never played a down. Landon Collins obviously hasn't played here. He was an all-pro with the Giants. But I'm going with current talent helps the team most right now, not necessarily forecasting out a bunch of years.
And so on that thread, is the argument for Haskins to be at the fringe of the top 10 or outside the top 10 just based on the fact that he's an unknown quantity, or is that an evaluation of his last year at Ohio State?
No, his last year at Ohio State was great. I just appreciate the call. I think I'm thinking about where I would rank him as a player, where I would rank him as a quarterback. I think Montez Sweat is a better pass rusher than Dwayne Haskins right now is an NFL quarterback. I think Darius Geis is a better NFL running back than Dwayne Haskins is a quarterback. I think Matt Ioannidis and Daron Payne. Ioannidis, who was on his way to double-digit sacks in the Pro Bowl last year before injury, is a higher valued, ranked higher in the league at defensive tackle than Haskins at quarterback this moment. Verona, 20-plus goals. Allen, Pro Bowler this year, in my opinion. Robles, elite defensive center fielder with power and speed. Collins, former All-Pro. Wilson, integral member of a championship team. Soto, should have been an All-Star, second in Rookie of the Year balloting. I can't take any of those guys down a peg for Haskins because he was really good with a bunch of great weapons around him in the Big Ten.
If we redo this poll in September or October and he's playing and playing well, certainly the evaluation goes up. Even the other guys you mentioned that have not played, we have a further definition on them that they're going to be contributing at least early in the season, whereas we still have no indication as to whether Haskins is going to have the opportunity to participate and affect change. But if he's playing and playing well, and we do this poll in September or October, there's no question he probably jumps right into the top three.
Yeah.
More than likely if we redo this same poll and revisit it coming up in September
or October.
I'm sure
because we'll have seen it at that point, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah,
exactly.
You're right. I think
the other
100%
guys have a more
on.
Defined path to playing right away.
Yes.
More so than Dwayne Haskins does.
That's
at least
part of it for me,
temporarily.
Too. Like right now, this second, Dwayne Haskins is not a better NFL quarterback than Case Keenum.
Not yet.
That's to me, in terms of naming him higher on my list than...
Guy's played one full year of college football. That's all we've seen of him.
Right.
Let's see. Look, the college game and the pro game are completely different. Let's not try to, sugarcoat things. Completely different thing. We need to see him in the NFL system. And let's see him, in the NFL game against NFL defenses who even plan for you and do more exotic things than they even do on the college level.
So we got a tweet here as well. So I told you what Tommy thought. Our other producer, Dar, he's got Haskins too as well. He's got no Landon Collins on his list, who's the only guy of the bunch here who's been a first-team All-Pro or named the best player in the league at his position. But he's got his list is Soto 1. I think we've all agreed there, right?
Johnny
Soto's been
Soto.
One on every list. Then he's got Haskins 2, Robles 3. He's got Verona higher than Wilson 4. And then he's got Jonathan Allen 5. I think John Allen as a mainstay in the top five makes a lot of sense. Just a steady Eddie at this point. We're in pretty good shape, though, overall in D.C. sports. Steve Buckant's supposed to join us at 1, which I'm pumped about. That's 16 minutes away. As soon as we come back, you are getting tickets to see the Nats if you're listening to Grant and Dan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here on the Fan. It is 12:45, which means caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Nats take on the Dodgers July 26th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ballgame all season long. Courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at the Fan. DC.com.
That's a pretty good ticket, by the way.
Contest.
That should be a well-attended weekend series.
Going to be good.
Be a very good ticket.
Best team in the National League, hottest team in the National League, a team the Nats are trying to gain some ground on in the senior circuit. Dodgers have the MVP, perhaps, in Cody Bellinger, a guy who put on a show in the Home Run Derby in Jock Peterson, and a couple of the best pitchers in baseball, including Hyunjin Ryu. Be nice if the Nats could find a way to rough him up and help Max Scherzer's cause as he battles for the Cy Young Award.
Hopefully it'll work out where Scherzer and Ryu pitch against each other. That would be perfect.
Oh, I would love that. That would mean Max is pitching, by the way, which I would also love. Speaking of which, we talked about this yesterday. Did you hear what Mike Rizzo said on the Junkies today? Did you hear what Davey Martinez said in Baltimore last night? So just to get everyone up to speed, previously on the Nationals injury show, Max Scherzer was supposed to pitch on Sunday out of the All-Star break in a game you were calling in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan during the All-Star break. Got pushed back to Tuesday because of his back. So he was supposed to have pitched last night in the game I went to against the Orioles. That didn't happen. That got pushed back to Saturday. So yesterday I was saying, you know, I don't feel great about this. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not sounding the alarm. I'm not panicking. But this is, something doesn't smell right here. This isn't great. He's on the injured list now. We were told he probably wasn't going to have to go to the injured list. It's fine, everybody told me. He's going to be back this weekend. He's going to pitch on Saturday. So this was the third date that's been given to us. Then yesterday, before the game, I'm sitting in the Orioles dugout next to Davey Martinez, and he's not definitively saying Max is throwing. He says he wants to see him throw a bullpen, which he hasn't done yet, before they say that he's going to pitch this weekend.
Supposed to be today.
Rizzo's on with the Junkies. Is he pitching on Saturday? He couldn't tell them definitively that he was. Said, I'll have a better answer, to your point, after he throws that bullpen, which he was hoping was going to be today, although Davey Martinez said it could be tomorrow. So I'm not sure it'd be around now probably or within the next hour and a half. But the point is, Sunday became Tuesday, Tuesday became Saturday, and maybe he does pitch Saturday, but Saturday is now questionable. Now, part of this is the team has never given a firm day. But there has been enough speculation and kind of hinting of the date that he was going to go. I think Max was the one originally that said that Sunday. But Sunday was Sunday did not happen, was Tuesday. Tuesday did not happen, was Saturday. Now we're in wait and see how he feels after he throws mode for Saturday. I'm not telling you to scream and run around the house, but I'm saying stop telling me something doesn't smell funny if you're a Nats fan.
But Mike did also clarify and say on the Junkies this morning that if it was September, he said there's no way you'd be able, if it was a September game that meant something, there's no way you'd be able to keep Max off the mound. And he said, look, sometimes he has to be the adult in the room and say, look, it's July. There's no need to press forward right now in July if it's going to mean potentially losing Scherzer for a longer period of time or losing him late in the season potentially. For good, that would be foolish to rush him back in July when he could do something that could cost you having his services in August, September, and hopefully October.
I heard that, and it made me feel really good, to be completely honest with you, that he said that Max would pitch if this was basically a must-have game. I felt a lot better when I heard that. if you take him at his word. I kind of feel like these are must-have games, though, to be completely honest with you. Like, the Nats, as great as they've played, they've earned nothing yet. And the idea that they're going to make the wild card, while I am on board and I think it's going to happen, it's right now a 50-50 proposition. They need every one of these games. And when he doesn't go and Austin Voth does, you better hope you play the Orioles or you probably lose.
But if Max goes six innings, beats Atlanta Saturday, but it cost you Max for 3 or 4 weeks later on down the line, is winning that one game against the Braves worth risking losing him for 3 or 4 weeks later on when you've still got to manage not only trying to catch Atlanta, but as you mentioned, staying atop of that wild card heap where I keep reminding you, and as I said this even over the weekend, there are teams all of a sudden starting to fall by the wayside. The Pirates can't get out of their own way. They lose again last night. So now there's even talks that, you know, they could be looking to get a fortune for Felipe Vasquez and make a move there because they've lost every game coming out of the break. And other teams are showing that, you know, they're not ready for primetime players either. So that number of teams chasing you is getting less and less. Though, for some reason, the San Francisco Giants have all of a sudden started playing like, you know, the group with Willie Mays and people like that. It's uncanny how all of a sudden they've started playing good baseball here just now, finally.
Steve Buckantz, who's in the news today and is maybe the person in D.C. sports you'd most like to have on your show, is scheduled to join us at 1 o'clock in 7 minutes. So that should be a very much appointment listening. Spread the word on that. He'll be on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour. I'm going to answer your question, though, first. You asked if he pitches six innings against the Braves and gets a win, and then he has to miss a couple of months, is that a situation where it was worth it to you to have him miss a couple of months because he beat the Braves? And the answer is obviously no. But if he is at risk by pitching six innings against the Braves to get more hurt and hurt his back, then something's very wrong with his back. And that's my entire point. They're saying nothing's very wrong with his back. There's nothing to worry about. We're being overly precautious. He's perfectly fine. He's going to be okay. Well, if he's at risk, if he throws, of getting seriously hurt and missing several weeks, then they're not right, and I am. Then my point is, raise the flag here and say something is going on, and they're not doing
right,
that.
But right now, though, the MRIs continue to show nothing in terms of, you know, structure, muscular, you know, difficulty or anything like that in terms of damage, but continuing to try and pitch through pain right now could eventually do something because that's just the nature of back injuries. And Clayton Kershaw told him in the All-Star game, bro, you don't really want to push this, you know, if your back is acting up like that, because Kershaw went through the same thing and missed a decent amount of time as a result of it. The problem is the timing of it right now for the Nationals. You're chasing the Braves. You have 7 games with the Braves this month, so you're desperate to have your best pitcher in the lineup. But if he throws 6 or 7 innings, gutting it through the pain, because that's what Max Scherzer does, and it costs you Max Scherzer for 4 weeks later on down the line, and you end up losing games to teams that you're better than because you don't have Max Scherzer pitching. And as you mentioned, you're pitching Austin Voth, you're pitching Eric Fetty because you're pressed into pitching those guys. Guess what, Grant? We went through that song and dance last year with guys like that pitching, and we saw the results. So that's why Mike is saying he's standing up being the guy in the room. Look, we're going to give you as much time as necessary to get right so we don't lose you somewhere down the line because we pitch you this weekend against Atlanta.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Steve Buckantz going to join us next to talk about the future of the Wizards broadcasts. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson from my friends at Window Nation. They took really good care of me, getting me brand new windows and a brand new door at my home. Had a lovely experience with them. So $150,000 windows worth of clients at this point. 99.5% of them that required no follow-up service, an A-plus rating in the Better Business Bureau. They're run by a couple of guys in Harley and Aaron that I've gotten to know. In fact, I was hanging out with Harley a little bit in Cleveland during the All-Star festivities. Had a good time with him. He comes into the station, catches up with me and Danny, makes sure everything's going well. He has a relationship with us that makes us feel really comfortable talking about Window Nation on the air. You can call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. We know that he's going to ensure that you get absolutely wonderful treatment, that your windows, that your doors improve the value of your home, that they are energy efficient, and most importantly, that you get that tax break and lower energy bills. Buy one window right now, you're going to get one free, no limit. You buy one, you get one, as many as you purchase. Plus 000, no down payment, no interest, no payment. No down payment, no interest, no payment for 12 months. Go to windownation.com or call them at 866-98.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.